afternoon, ladies and gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
And welcome to Identity and Windows Azure. Unfortunately, I couldn't fit the full title on the slide. The full title continues The Brave New World of Single Sign-On in the Cloud. My name's Rory Braybrook. I work for Datacom in their I&M department. We do a lot of work with ADFS, with WIF, with ACS, with FIM, and we also use some non-Microsoft products like Oracle Identity Manager and OpenAM. I'm the Microsoft VTSP for ADFS in Auckland, and I'm also one of the administrators of the .NET user group out on the North Shore. If there's one key message that I'd like you to take away from this presentation today, it's that Azure Active Directory allows you to move your I&M to the cloud and manage access to both cloud and on-premises resources. An overview of what we're going to talk about today. So Azure Active Directory is obviously going to be the main focus. This is a repository in the cloud that's built from the ground up for the cloud. Scott Goo in his keynote talked about it as platform as a service. If you went to Carol Wapsvier's presentation this morning, she called it ID as a service. I'm kind of with Carol on this. I think it deserves its own little section. It is very much built from the premise of using the cloud to manage the cloud. ACS is the original invocation of Azure Identity. If you've ever played with it, you'll know that it's the one that allows you to authenticate with Facebook, with Google, with Yahoo, with Live ID. The Graph API is a set of RESTful API calls that you can use to manage all the attributes inside Azure Active Directory. ADAL, Active Directory Authentication Library, is a set of .NET classes that you can use to manipulate the attributes, mainly for native applications using web APIs. And finally, SSO, Single Sign-On, which is the holy grail of this exercise. Log in once, go to all the applications. You never have to authenticate again. I find the name Azure Active Directory really confusing because when I talk to people and when I present to people, they see Active Directory and they immediately think of Server Active Directory. And then they see Azure, so they think cloud. So they think, oh, it's just Active Directory in the cloud. If I run up an Azure VM and I put Server 2008 or Server 2012 on it, I add AD, I make it a domain controller, DNS, and all the rest of it, what I've got is AD in the cloud. What I don't have is Azure Active Directory. It allows you to start off on-premise and move according to your constraints and your business requirements into the cloud. So we all know Active Directory. It's been around for 15 years. It's used by 88% of Fortune 500 companies, 92% of corporations that use Microsoft technology. Domain Services manages your network, allows you to manage computers, servers, printers. Lightweight Directory Services allows you to manage a simpler subset, mainly applications. Federation Services sits on top of AD. It allows you to federate with other security token services and for software as a service applications. Certificate Services allows you to manage your certificates. Rights Management is for digital media, who can read, who can write, who can copy, who can forward, who can print. It's very corporate, and it uses Kerberos and LDAP as the protocols. If we go over to Azure Active Directory, at this point, it's not nearly that mature. So we've basically got Azure Active Directory. In terms of Federation Services, we're using Azure Access Control Services. This slide used to say that there was no rights management, but 4 days ago, Microsoft announced that there was a preview of rights management service for Azure. So now there's a preview that you can go and play with. It obviously sits in the cloud, and the protocols that we use to access it are the REST protocols that I mentioned, SAMLP, the protocol, WS Federation, OAuth, and the Graph API. You can as I said, you can start on-premise and move into the cloud, and you end up over time with a bit of a mix and match. At the bottom of your slide, you've got your on-premise stuff, Active Directory, Exchange, SharePoint, LDAP, your line of business. At the top, you've got Active Directory with Exchange Online, SharePoint Online, using the Graph API, with your third-party cloud apps. Now, it's not an all or nothing. You don't have to be here or there. You can migrate pretty much between the two as your business dictates. The thing about Azure Active Directory is that one size essentially fits all. If you're a small startup, you can start up with Azure Active Directory. You don't have to have any infrastructure at all. If you're a large company, you can migrate your credentials into the cloud, and that allows you to authenticate to cloud applications and to a large variety of software as a service companies. Some concepts that I'm going to be talking about for identity. Claims-based applications. So these are applications that outsource their authentication and their authorization to a security token service. What you get back is a set of claims. A claim is a statement. So Rory works for Datacom. The way that you verify that statement is that it comes from a trusted issuer and it's signed by that issuer's certificate. Those claims then enable your application to decide on the business rules. Are the pages read-only? Can the pages be edited? Microsoft has pretty much moved completely into claims-based applications. SharePoint, CRM Dynamics, Office 365, Intune are all claims-based. A security token service is the service that issues those claims. Within Azure Active Directory, we actually have two security token services. We have the core STS, which has been around for a while, and that's the one that does the authentication. And we have what we call the applicative STS, which is the one that issues all the claims. In terms of the SDSs that you can hook up to Azure Active Directory, there's only a few that are certified at the moment. Obviously, ADFS 2.0 and 2.1, Ping Federate, Shibboleth, and Optimal IDM in terms of the Office 365, works with Office 365 program. They've recently certified the Tivoli one, Centrify, and NetIQ. Those are ones that you know work. You can always hook up other ones, but they may or may not get you there. An identity provider is a security token service that has its own credential store. So that is the credential store that you authenticate against. ADFS is an identity provider because ADFS sits on top of Active Directory. A service provider is an intermediate STS between the application and the final destination. So it'll pass you through, but you do not authenticate on a service provider because a service provider does not have its own repository. Access Control System is a good example of this because you go to ACS, but you then go off to Facebook or Google or Yahoo to actually do your authentication. Windows Identity Foundation, or WIF, is a set of .NET classes that handle all the heavy lifting and the plumbing for claims-based applications. So they handle the protocol, which is WS Federation for a browser-based scenario, WS Trust for a web server scenario. They decrypt the token if they need to. They check the signature. They take the claims assertions in the SAML token, and they put them into a set of model objects that you can enumerate through, and they provide a rich set of helper clauses that you can use to manipulate them. Federation has been discussed extensively by Paul Andrew in his talk yesterday and Carol Wapsie in her talk this morning. Essentially, if you have two companies, Contoso and Fabricam, they both have Active Directories. They both have ADFS above those Active Directories. If a Contoso user wants to access a Fabricam application, it goes to the application. The application hands off to the Fabricam STS. That pulls up a screen called the Home Realm Discovery screen. It asks you, are you a Fabricam user or a Contoso user? You say, I'm a Contoso user. It passes you across to the Contoso STS. You authenticate there, goes back to Fabricam, it's trusted, and it lets you into the application. The important point to realize about this is that at no time did your Contoso credentials go anywhere near Fabricam? It stays within Contoso. You may not have realized it, but you've been using Azure Active Directory for quite a long time, because Azure Active Directory is the foundation of Office 365. If you've used SharePoint Online, Office 365, Exchange Online, or Link Online, all of those things are sitting on top of Azure Active Directory. What happened in July last year is Microsoft decided to open up Azure Active Directory to third parties. You can now have your own tenants. You can do what you like with it. It's not just based on Office 365. And in April this year, it was released to general availability. So it's really only been around for 5 months. It's very much based around the social infrastructure at the moment. So it targets users, it does authentication, takes your attributes, provides them in the form of claims. It is not targeted around infrastructure. So you can't manage printers, you can't manage devices. There's no such thing as group policy at the moment. It does support software as a service. There's a list of companies that Microsoft certify that people say, we want you to hook it up to Azure Active Directory. At the moment, there's about 118 of them. It grows every week. Google Docs, Salesforce, Dropbox, GitHub, Skype, Twitter. There's a whole raft of them. The thing about AD is that it's hierarchical. It's built around the corporate structure. You have a company, it has departments, it has managers, it has users. So it's nice and straight line. It's based on the X500 standard. How do you access it? You use the C# APIs. In .NET Framework 2, you would have used directory services. .NET Framework 3.5 onwards, you've used account management. The problem in the cloud is that it's not hierarchical. People play rugby. Different people play football with you. The guy sitting next to you is married to your brother's sister-in-law. It's very hard to put that into a hierarchical structure. So what Azure Active Directory is built on is graph theory, much the same as the Facebook API. It's based on REST, and you use a set of REST interfaces to get there. In terms of the management, Microsoft owns the infrastructure. They look after all the boxes for you. They look after all the server farms. They make sure it's highly available. They handle all the disaster recovery. Microsoft does not look after your tenant. It's up to you to decide what information you're going to put into your tenant, what users you're going to put into your tenant, what those users can do with that information, what applications they can access, and what the applications can do with the information. The applications can be internal inside your tenant, or you can set up your applications to be multi-tenanted and they can access other people's tenant data. All right, let's go and have a look at the actual portal. Hopefully that will click over. Scott Goo kind of did some of this at the keynote, which didn't make me happy. That's the worst thing about having the last presentation at TechEd, is that I've spent this whole 3 days like death by a thousand cuts. So every time I've gone to presentation, Paul Andrews yesterday talked about multi-factor authentication. Carol Wapsie this morning talked about DOSing. And I'm not going to have any slides left at the end of TechEd. So we'll just quickly go through the portal. It does change. It changes all the time. So if we look over here, for those of you who didn't go to the keynote, you can add applications. So unfortunately, it takes a little bit of time. So there's 100. All right, this morning there were 118. Now there's 135. It goes up all the time. So just to show you, if I just look at productivity, you can see there's Evernote, there's Google Apps, there's Google Docs. If I go to the top, this one may be of interest. So Xero is there as well. So, well, good on Xero for adding themselves onto it. All right. The user stuff is pretty standard. You know, it's the standard provisioning. But I just want to show you. I want you to note the names of those three users. There's me. There's my MSDN account, and just a random user that I use for testings. All right, we'll go and look at applications. So if I just go and look at one of the many applications that I've been putting into this tenant, and just wait for it to run up, and if I go and configure it, come on. It's got good kind of counts down here, you know, 1,000, 1,001. Right, the first thing that I want to show you is down at the bottom, it says manage access. If I go and change this, I can decide if this application is just going to be a single sign-on application to Azure Active Directory, if I'm going to let it single sign-on and read, or if I'm going to let it single sign-on, read, and write. And you can change this at any time. But it's a way of protecting your data and making kind of splitting stuff up among your applications. So what we have is the name, the URL. Over here, we've got external access. If you turn that on, what you are allowing is this application to manage and read other people's Azure Active Directory tenants. There's a consent process involved. Obviously, both sides have to be involved. But what it allows you to do is have an application that is really multi-tenanted. We've got an application ID over here. This is what you put into the web.config if you're going to use Graph API interfaces. And down the bottom, we've got keys. Now, this is the secret key that you also have to add to your web.config. So, warning, you can only see the key on this page. So, before you leave this page, you need to copy and paste the key. So, don't just copy it. Make sure that you've actually got it and you can paste it. Because when you leave the page, the key's gone. You're going to have to regenerate a whole new one. And that catches me often. If we go and look at the endpoints, so what we've got is the standard metadata, so that's how you do federation, ADFS, and ADFS all uses that. We've got the WS Federation sign-on. We've got the SAML sign-on and sign-out endpoints. SAML is a very complicated protocol. The part of documents is yay high. In terms of the way it's structured, it's very much the same as WCF. You've got profiles, you've got bindings. Azure Active Directory, in terms of profiles, handles the browser SSO profile. It handles the ECP profile, enhanced client and proxy. That's kind of like a browser with an add-on. And in terms of bindings, it does HTTP POST. It does HTTP redirect. At the moment, it doesn't do HTTP artifact. So, okay. If I go back. So the domain section here, that's what Scott Goo spoke about in the keynote. Everything in Azure Active Directory is something.onmicrosoft.com. If you don't like that, you can get your own domain, and you can map it and use that as your domain. Directory integration, that's DirSync. Paul Andrews covered it yesterday. Carol covered it this morning. Basically, you can take your on-premise Active Directory, use a tool, and sync it up to the cloud. Now, one of the things that's happening about Azure is that it moves all the time. Scott Goo was saying that he's trying to get his Azure team to deliver a new feature every 3 weeks. He also said that some of his teams that are really, really mature, they use continuous integration, continuous delivery, they deliver to production up to 10 times a day. Okay, that's quite scary. For me to deliver to production 10 times a day, I think my blood pressure would go through the roof. Yesterday, I was just running through these DEMs, and I noticed there's a new tab here, Configure. That wasn't there 2 days ago. So, okay. I kind of Googled it, couldn't find anything. It doesn't really do much. It says name, which is private, and interestingly enough, English is the only email. But if I click on the help file, what it tells me is that this is where you manage policies and settings for your Access Directory. So, okay, how do I get off this page now? The back button. Well, this is interesting. Ah, there we go. Good call, that. Sorry about that. My apologies. Come on. Right, if I go back. So up here you see access control namespaces. Now this is the old ACS. So if I go and click manage, I go to a completely different portal. So it just makes me sure that I've got the right credentials. And what it shows me, something very, very similar to ADFS. So if you've done any work with ADFS and STSs, this will be very familiar to you. So we've got identity providers. We've got Facebook, Google, Windows Live, Yahoo. We've got some applications that I've hooked up. We've got some rule groups. If I go and look at one of them, you'll see that these rules are basically taking claims and passing them through. And we've got the application stuff. So these are the ACS endpoints. And you can go back to the portal by clicking up here on the Azure portal button. Now, just before these slides, I was saying that this is all based on Office 365. If you go to your Office 365 stuff, you'll see exactly the same users. Okay, that's the end of that one. Back to there. All right, this is a really, really nice slide. It kind of encapsulates everything. This comes from this document Active Directory from on-premises to the cloud. I urge you, if you're interested, to go and read that document. It's a little bit out of date, but it does give you a really, really good overview. So what we've got is we've got, at the top, we've got the core STS. Down the bottom, we've got the applicative STS. We've got the public interfaces for Federation, Trust, SAML, and OAuth. On the left-hand side at the top, we've got the web-based portal, which is the one that I've just showed you. You can also access this with PowerShell commandlets. You can do the dir sync that we spoke about earlier. And there's also REST interfaces coming in, all different ways that you can manage this data. The problem with Azure Active Directory is that it is really an ever-moving target. In the beginning, all the tutorials on the internet are all extensively PowerShell-based. There can be pages and pages of PowerShell. It's quite hard to get it working. Microsoft got that feedback. They've slowly been developing a whole pile of wizards. The problem is that the tutorials out on the internet haven't been updated, so you could really be doing something the hard way when there's actually a way that's a lot easier. Yesterday, as I said, they did a new build. They not only put that new feature there, they also broke off of my demos. So I spent last night putting them all back together. It's not what I wanted to happen. The good thing about authentication in both Azure Active Directory and ACS at the moment is that it's free. However, that is not true of the multi-factor stuff that Carol and Paul spoke about. That you pay for. You'd have to get into a license agreement, and you will be charged depending on these different plans, but I think one of them is $1 per user per month or something. But you can go and look it up. But that's the only part that's not free. All right, let's go and look at Visual Studio. So how many people here are using Visual Studio 2013 as their IDE at work? Very, very few. One, two. Okay, so if you went to Brady Gaster's talk, he showed this tooling in Visual Studio. They've changed it quite radically. They've put it inside the Create project. It's a little radio button that you tick. So I'm just going to do it in Visual Studio 2012. I've already just made the project, so you don't have to watch it load up. If we look on the right-hand side here. Sorry. Is that better? Okay, sorry. You've got this identity and access tool down here. So that is one of the ways that you can authenticate. You can use this for ADFS, ACS, and Windows Active Directory, Windows Azure Active Directory. If I go up to project, this is the one I'm going to show you. It says enable Windows Azure authentication. If I go and open it, it says, what's the name of your tenant? I click enable. It says provisioning this application in Windows Azure Active Directory. It's going to ask me to prove that I own this tenant, so I'll just type that in. I'm going to sign in now. What it's doing now is it's provisioning it. So it's going off to Azure Active Directory. It's creating some SPN service principal names. It's putting them in the portal. It's going to come back. It's going to use WIF to alter the web.config. It's going to set up certificates, issuers, and a whole raft of things like that. You don't have to do any of this. It just happens. This application has been configured for Windows Azure authentication. If I run it up now, we'll see it's going to take me off to Azure Active Directory. Just wait for it to run up. All right, it's going to ask me to sign in. So this is on-premise on my laptop. Obviously, it's localhost, so it's complaining about the certificate. And there you are. It is really that easy. The good news is that it's that easy. The bad news is it's that easy. Because, sorry?
So how do you make that single sign-on?
How do you make that single sign-on? So it's once you've logged on, and I'll come back to this in a demo, but later you can then get to all the software as a services and everything. So you've basically logged into that tenant. The problem with this is that if you haven't been playing around with WIF from the beginning and it doesn't work, you basically stuck because it does all this magic, but you've no idea what it actually does. The other tool that I just showed you on the right-hand side, that is a bit more, you have to do more there, and that's probably a better way to start. That kind of gives you a bit of an introduction. Okay, so that was the end of that demo. All right, so is that large enough? Yep. So I'm just going to go through some parts of the web.config that were changed on a project that I did a few days ago. You'll see in the top rectangle, you've got app settings. What it's done is it added the metadata, what providers you've got, memberships. Down the bottom, on the right of the ellipse, you'll see system.identitymodel.services. That is the classes in the .NET framework for WIF in .NET 4.5. If you ever worked with WIF in 3.5 and before, you would have known that that was Microsoft.identitymodel. They changed everything when they went from 3.5 to 4.5. It's added two authentication models. It's added the WS Federation one and the session authentication one. There's another one that it didn't add because it doesn't need to for this, called the claims authentication module, and that enables you to manipulate the claims. At the top, on the top rectangle, you've got the thumbprint. That's the thumbprint of the certificate that uses the public key to verify that these claims are actually coming from the issuer. The issuer is underneath. So what that's saying is this application will only accept claims coming from that issuer signed by that certificate. If you go down to the bottom, you'll see just at the top, cookie handler requires SSL as false. You can decide if the cookies need to be encrypted or not. You can see there's an issuer, the realm is an SPN, it's the URL to reply to, and whether you're going to enforce HTTPS or not. So there's a few other changes in the web.config as well. Give it a whirl, keep the old one, take the new one, see what the differences are, and you'll see how it's getting there. The differences between the two are basically the one is using SPNs and the other one's using URL. When you use the identity access tool, you physically have to go and add the application on the application screen, that one I showed you earlier. This one does it for you automatically, but it does not show you the application on that screen. All right, so there's a whole lot of applications sitting behind that you don't really notice. The set of claims that comes from Azure Active Directory is very limited. That's basically the list that you've got. It's fixed. Obviously, it's going to expand over time, but at the moment, that's it. In terms of your on-premise Active Directory, obviously, you've got a schema. You can extend the schema with Exchange if you want. That gives you all the extension attributes. You can use custom schemas if you want to extend it even further. In the cloud, it's a little bit different because what you've got is hundreds of thousands of tenants. It's really going to be almost impossible to have different schemas for all of them. So Azure Active Directory has a fixed schema. It obviously is going to extend over time, but you can't add custom things to it at the moment. So we spoke, Paul and Carol spoke a little about federation. So at the moment, if you use ADFS, you've got, there's a repository. You can configure the attributes. There's a very rich claims rules syntax. You can take the attributes. You can concatenate them. There's rules for exists or not exist. There's rules to count the number of attributes. There's limited rules in a sort of basic access manager to allow and deny access based on those claims. In Azure Active Directory, like I've just showed you, there's a fixed set. If that set isn't enough for you, and in 99% of the cases it's not going to be, you need to use the Graph API to go and get the rest of the attributes. Doesn't have a claims rule language, so you can't do that, and it doesn't act as any kind of access manager. So synchronize or federate. DirSync is a very single, simple tool. You can download it. It syncs your attributes up to the cloud. There's a single server, single architecture. But what it does do is it's same sign-on. You log into your corporate intranet. When you log into Azure Active Directory, use the same logon, the same password, but you have to authenticate again. In ADFS, if you want to federate it, well, obviously it's much more complicated. You've got a number of servers, you've got proxies, you've got load balancers, you've got certificate management, high availability. But what that does provide you is it provides you with single sign-on. So authenticate once, that's it. In terms of the ways that you can put stuff into Azure Active Directory, obviously there's DirSync, that's nice and simple, but it only works on a single instance of AD. There's a FIM Active Directory connector. It's a lot more complicated, a lot more sophisticated. You can program it. It handles forests. But you have to buy FIM, and FIM is not cheap. You can use PowerShell. There's a set of PowerShell Azure Active Directory commandlets. You can use the Graph API. You can use the old portal. You can use the new portal. You can use the Office 365 portal if you've got Office 365. There's a set of helper classes for the Graph API. They're written in C#, Java, and PHP. So you have a pretty wide range of manipulating and putting stuff into Azure Active Directory. All right, I'm just going to skip that one because we're kind of running out of time a little bit. Okay, so in terms of using the Graph API, if you remember when I showed you those endpoints, there was an endpoint for OAuth and there was an endpoint for the Graph API. What you first do is you go off to Azure Active Directory and you get an OAuth token. You take that token, you put it into your authentication section in your HTTP message. You then build up your REST message, whatever you want to do, and send it off to the Graph API endpoint. It's pretty much standard REST out the box. It's got your CRUD, create, read, update, and delete, and that maps to post, get, patch, and delete. So let's go and have a look at the, there's a Microsoft provided tool for the, called the Graph Explorer. I'm just going to open it up. So this, now that's interesting. It wouldn't be ticket if all the demos worked, would it? All right, so I can just do a get here. All right, let me just blow that up a bit. So what we've got here is a whole lot of things you can get out of Azure Active Directory. So let's just click on users. You'll see here there's me as JBlogs and there's me as WadTest. If I just take the JBlogs here, so this uses OData. I go back to the top. And do a get and just check that, yeah. What it does is it basically given me just the JBlogs one. So I don't have the Rory B one. If I just take this usage location, that's just a random attribute. And I go back to the top. And you'll see I just get New Zealand. So you can go all the way down, up, around using this. It is pretty much standard OData. You can also, if I just go from here, take all that out. You can also use filters, so query string, dollar, filter equals, for example, display name equals, thank you. Display name equals your blogs, and you'll see that you get Joe Blogs again. So the filters allow less than, greater than, equal to. If you want to know what the attributes are that you can use, for example, I want to create data, I want to use a post, what attributes can I use for a user? You can go dollar metadata, and you'll get a whole selection of EDM, entity data models, that you can go and work out what you need. And it's all JSON tokens. And there's a really nice section on TechEd. It's got tons and tons and tons of examples of how you use this. Okay. Are we back? All right. So, in the beginning, Azure Authentication Library was very much cloud-based. So it managed cloud, it managed tenants, very much cloud-specific. With the introduction of Windows Server 2012 R2, they've extended ADFS, they've extended it for OAuth, they've extended it for JSON Web Tokens, and a few other things. So that stuff is no longer in the cloud. So the name Azure Authentication Library is probably no longer appropriate. So they've renamed it to ADAL, Active Directory Authentication Library. This morning they announced that ADAL has gone to general availability. So it's now there, it's available. The examples that I've seen on the internet are really more around native applications and web API, but it's there if you want to go and play with it. Some of you may have heard of Vittorio Bertucci. He's a principal program manager in the Azure team. He blogs extensively. He is a big presenter at Build, a big presenter at TechEd. He always says that Azure Active Directory is not a school science project. It's not a proof of concept. At the beginning of this year, they published some statistics about Azure Active Directory based on figures that they had gathered since 2010. So since 2010, Azure Active Directory has done 200 billion authentications. It's done authentications and data for over 50 million user accounts. In an average week, it does about 5 billion authentication requests for about half a million different domains. In 2 minutes, it does 1 million authentications. In a second, about 9,000 requests, about 0.2 seconds for each authentication. I think when you look at those figures, and they're almost too large to get your head around, you'll agree with Vittorio where he says that Azure Active Directory is very definitely not a school science project. All right, let's go and have a look at SSO. So, warning, spoiler alert, this is all preview stuff. If you went to Brady Gaster's one where he showed all those micro little devices, he kind of said, well, this may or may not work. And most of them did in the end, so good on him. All right, so the way that you access the things in Azure Active Directory, there's a, you hook them all up, there's a whole way that you do it. Each of them is slightly different. So, don't know what's going on here now. Let me just go back, take it down. Okay, so this is interesting. Maybe I go on this one. Right. So you'll see on some of them there's a little spanner at the bottom. What that spanner does is it basically allows you, these ones with the spanner are not true single sign-on. You basically put in your name and your password, it encrypts it, it keeps it for you, and it basically logs on as behalf. So let's go to SkyDrive, and you'll see that it's going to redirect now. It's going to whack up my credentials, and it's going to go off to SkyDrive. If I go to GitHub, it's going to do much the same thing. So I'm already authenticated to this tenant, as I showed you earlier, for all the lap around the portal. So GitHub, hopefully, maybe, yes, no, possibly not. No. We'll come back to GitHub. All right, so the competition, Google Docs. Let's see if we get there. Oh, that's better. All right, so there's Google Docs coming up right now. So there are Mail, Drive, Calendar. So there's your Google Docs. Ah, GitHub's come up. There's GitHub. Right, let's go into real single sign-on. So when you do this, the real single sign-on, you need to use certificates. You need to set up federation metadata. They have wizards that do 95% of it. It is a million times easier than doing it on ADFS, so I promise you that. So let's go and look at Salesforce. So this is true single sign-on. You see it will not flash up any kind of credentials page or anything. Let's see what happens with Salesforce. And there you are, Salesforce. All right, now let's go to the real one, the piece de resistance, the cream de la creme. Office 365. And let's see what happens. And there you are, Office 365. And there's your admin page. So you can see, once you've logged in, you don't have to log in again. You've got all these applications, and they all just work. It's really pretty cool. And it's so much easier than doing it with ADFS. Have we gone back? Yeah. So again, the key message that I'd like you to take away from this presentation. Some resources. All right, so I've mentioned Vittorio Bertucci. His blog is called Cloud Identity Blog. The Azure blog is a kind of catch-all for everything that's happening in the Azure world. There's the Active Directory Graph blog. There's quite a lot of stuff happening there. Every now and then they put something in the Active Directory team blog. That is not just server Active Directory, that's now server and Azure Active Directory. Every now and then there's developments in the tools blog. Related content, well, this is kind of a bit meaningless right now because it's the end of TechEd. But Carol Waps here this morning talked about the identity jigsaw puzzle. She gave quite a broad overview, did quite a lot of stuff with ADFS. The second one was ADFS specific, and I didn't get the chance to go to it. The third one, Office 365, was Paul Andrew yesterday. He demonstrated the multi-factor authentication and a whole lot of Azure Active Directory, but very, very Office 365 specific. If you clocked in at the door, you'll be in the prize to win a Sharks with Freezing Lasers t-shirt, which is one of the prizes on offer for all the Azure Track presentations. And please remember to do your evaluations. Thank you for coming. I appreciate it. I didn't think there'd be that many people for Azure Active Directory. And I hope you all enjoyed it and got something out of it. And more importantly, this is now pretty much the end of TechEd, and we can all go and have a drink.